And unfortunately for police, not every criminal is likely to broadcast their crimes quite so brazenly. But this doesn't mean you can't be monitored. If police suspect someone of a crime, they can bug their house, their car, or their phone. Who's seen the wire? And then this audio can make or break a case.
The making of audio recordings is a very significant source of evidence in both criminal investigations and in prosecutions, in the sense that if the police have reason to believe that someone is involved in criminal activity, they may record that person.
That's Peter French, chairman of Speech and Acoustics Laboratory, JP French Associates. They do what's called audio forensics, which isn't something I'd come across before, so he took me through some of the things their company does.
So one of the things we're asked to do is to compare the voices in criminal recordings with the voices of known suspects. Now, when I say criminal recordings, there could be a whole range of things. For instance, if the police think that you're involved in high-level crime, what they often refer to as top-draw crime, they will, in fact, bug your premises under a warrant, and we'd be comparing those voices with the voices of known suspects from, usually from police interview recordings.
What happens if the quality of the recording isn't too good?
This is, in fact, a very frequent scenario. A lot of the recordings that we get into the lab for processing have a lot of background noise in them or other problems of intelligibility associated with them. What we can do in those cases is to apply digital sound processing programs to the recordings in order to reduce the noise. Typical scenarios would be things like undercover police officers posing as drugs buyers, striking up deals with a drug dealer. This might take place in somewhere like a pub. So what we'd have in the background is a loud jukebox. We might have glasses clinking. And what we'd be trying to do is to reduce the level of that noise relative to the foreground conversation so that it can be more clearly heard. And there's a variety of digital processing techniques we use in order to enhance the sound quality.
How does it actually work when you need to get something out? I'm thinking of CSI, when they just kind of click enhance and the image becomes clearer and clearer and clearer. What do you actually do? How does it work?
Well, not the way that CSI portray it. In fact, CSI is one of our worst enemies because it gives police officers and other clients very elevated expectations of what they're going to get back from us. The techniques we use, whole range of them really, if it's broad spectrum noise, noise that goes right across the frequency spectrum, what we'll do is to use a technique known as spectral subtraction. This involves taking the recording and locating parts of the recording where there's no speech from the people in question, pauses between words, between sentences. And what we do is we sample that noise using the computer. And then once it's assembled a profile of the noise, it will remove noise with that profile from the sound file as a whole, and that will usually improve intelligibility.
We had a clip of Peter working his magic on a real wiretap recording. However, we, ironically, couldn't get the legal clearance to play it. However, the techniques actually sounded quite familiar to what we do at The Naked Scientist when we've got a bit of poor quality recording. So I can give you a slightly less swish example. Here's a bit of audio from sea life in London with a lot of background noise. And here it is, post-noise reduction. The editing software simply strips out anything that matches the background hum, just leaving the speech. But just as you can edit the background noise out of a clip, equally, if you were so inclined, you could chop up someone's speech, just like a jigsaw, and change the order or even the meaning of what they say. It's not something we'd ever do, but how do you know what you're getting is genuine?
We have available a new technique which is known as ENF analysis, that's electrical network frequency analysis. We're talking here about the fact that we've got an alternating electric current in use, and the nominal rate of alternation for the current is 50 times a second, in other words 50 hertz. But in reality, it's never absolutely spot on 50 hertz. It alternates unpredictably 49 point something, 51 point something, 50 point something. backwards and forwards. And this happens on a moment-to-moment basis in response to different levels of demand on the electrical network. The point is, though, that because we get these moment-by-moment fluctuations in the level of alternation, that means that any slice of time on a recording where this mains hum is represented actually tells us when that recording was made. So let's say someone submits a recording to us and says, this is a whole recording, it's continuous, which took place on the 4th of April. Because we record the mains hum 24/7, we'll run it against a database and we'll say, well, actually, the first 10 seconds of that recording were made on the 27th of March 2014. There's then 30 seconds of speech, which comes from, let's say, the 31st of October 2014, beginning at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and so on and so forth. So by looking at the mains hum on a recording, we can usually tell A, when it was made, and B, if it's a mosaic of pieces of recording from different times and dates. What I should say is that in order to do this, the recording device doesn't necessarily have to be connected to the mains. Even if it's a battery-operated device or even a mobile phone, as long as you're recording in, say, an urban environment or you're reasonably near to a main source, you will often get inducted mains hum down in the noise floor of the recording. And what we can do is to amplify it and analyze it from there, run it against the database.
And are the recordings, is the hum different enough from day to day?
It's different enough from second to second. I mean, it's changing in frequency all the time, and it's doing so totally unpredictably. It's not just that we can pin it down to a day. We can pin it down to the second that it was started and the second it was finished. It's almost like a fingerprint, a time fingerprint, which is peculiar to any section of time that we have on the recording, and it will be unique to that slice of time.